Thank you, ma'am. I believe that Jesus speaking here just kind of struck me studying last week and this week that I think because of our humanistic view on things that we don't really see things correctly in heaven. And that's probably an understatement, but we don't really, not meaning to, we just do. And it's because of our human way of looking and seeing things. I give the illustration time and again. We don't have any problem with Superman flying. But when the bus is teetering off the bridge and it's all he can do to push it back up on there, you know, is he tapping out? I mean, is that where he's at? I mean, and I think we have that view sometimes of God. I mean, how many times do we say, well, I don't want to bother God with that. He's busy. That's a misconsideration to God. God's not too busy. God's not too... I saw, again, a deal the other day. One of my daughter's friends didn't understand the title of the book of Tom Landry, God's Coach. She said, God doesn't need a coach. No one coaches God. But she's not from Texas, so she didn't understand. That's God's coach, right? John chapter 3 and verse 6, 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it come, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind is a peculiar thing. No one's ever seen the wind. Right? You can't say, you know, I saw the wind. You can say, I saw the wind do this. It's not that the wind blows. It's what the wind blows. Right? The only way we can tell if there's any wind at all is what effect it has on something. Follow me? I mean, if the flags are laying limp, there's no wind. If the flags are popping in the breeze, we see the effects of it, okay? In verse 8, Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Sometimes when I would try and lead people to the Lord, I would tell them, the Holy Spirit is who comes and indwells in you. Blow into your hand. You can feel it. You know something's going on. Can't see it. I mean, you know where it came from, but and you know that it's having an effect, but you can't see its work, right? Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. That word wind right there, used here in this verse, is the only time in the New Testament the word, the Greek word pneuma is used. Now most of the guys in here know what pneuma is. Right? No? You're all going to go, huh? How about something that is pneumatic? Ah, y'all said. Oh, power tools. Okay. It runs off the air. But that Greek word here, actually pneumatic or pneuma, means spirit. Not wind, but spirit. Now, in Ezekiel, and we'll go there here in a little bit, breath, spirit, and wind are all used in the same chapter. And they're all from the same Hebrew word. They just intermix. But Jesus says, the wind, or the spirit, blows where it will. He's talking about being born of the Spirit. After we pray, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you again for the day. Lord, thank you for all these who've come out. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, you'd teach this lesson, Lord, through your Spirit, Lord, that we would have better understanding, and Lord, that again it would change our prayer life, and Lord, just our walk with you, and Lord, with our fellow man. Father, bless the reading of your word. Father, I pray that you teach in Christ's name. Amen. So Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. When you pray, who do you pray to? You pray to God. God the Father. Through whom do you pray to God the Father? The Son. So, a lot of times, God the Father and God the Son are prevalent in our lives. But we leave the Holy Spirit out. Don't we? I mean, have you ever considered that a lot of times, my focal point, because of my humanistic view, my focal point is the Father and the Son. But it's a triune Godhead. Jesus said, I must go, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will pray to the Father, and He'll send another Comforter. That is the Holy Spirit. Now again, we have to be careful in dealing with kids. Kids think concretely. You don't have to talk to too many of them too many times until you see that kids think concretely. When you ask a child who is this big if he wants Jesus, who is a grown man, to come and live in his heart, they have a hard time figuring that out. It's confusing because they think concretely. I give this example numerous times through the year. When my daughter, when she was 5, got saved, her question was, if I get saved, do I got to go back to being my brother's size? He was an infant. That was a great question. See, all she had ever heard was you got to be born again. And she was pretty comfortable with the toys in her room that she had right at that time. Kids think concretely. Let me tell you something. A lot of times when we pray, and again, our focal point is God through the Son. And a lot of times the only reason God is good is because it rhymes with food. Right? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Because food and good don't rhyme. Okay? But a lot of times that's how we deal with it. And again, we've left the Holy Spirit out. Now, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to empower the church. We see that on the day of Pentecost. Sometimes the wind is a breeze. I mean, you could talk to everybody in here, and when you said, okay, explain wind, sometimes people would say, well, it's a gentle breeze. No, it's a gust or a gale, or sometimes it's hurricane force, right? Jesus is relating the wind to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He's a breeze. Sometimes He's a mighty rushing wind that has a force and an effect. It's powerful. Look at Acts chapter 1. How about Acts chapter 22. I must be dyslexic. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. When the author here is writing of what's happening, he didn't say, there come a mighty rushing wind, because he couldn't see it. But something was making a noise. Something was making something happen. Again, it's not that the wind blows. It's what it does. Larry, I thought about you in this. Musical instruments make noise, not because of the instrument, but because of what the wind does to it. Right? It's that the wind goes through it and makes a certain noise. It's the effect that it has on that instrument. You've heard of whispering pines. The trees aren't talking. They're not shh. It's the effect that the wind has on those pines. Show of hands, whoever stuck their head out the window and going down the road? Show of hands, come on. Hey, okay, thank you. I thought about that. I thought, man, who doesn't, you know? we were hauling some big metal something from somewhere here recently. And I hear this, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, my truck, you know, and I roll the windows down. And then I finally figure out there's a pipe back there. But the wind is having effect on something and making an effect of it. Look in John chapter 14. Verse 15 says, Jesus speaking here says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And look at verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, I'm going to send another Comforter. God will send another Comforter. On the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord in one room, the Holy Spirit came down in a force as a mighty rushing wind and filled that house. Remember Jesus said, John baptizes with water, but I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That house was filled. They were submerged in the Holy Spirit, and it was within them and without them. It was completely surrounded them. And I think, again, where we get misconstrued sometimes is we say, well, the Holy Spirit empowered the church, right, on the day of Pentecost. Church was going. It was added to. Holy Spirit empowered the church. Can I remind you again, who's the church? It's not texture and tile. It's us. So where's the Holy Spirit at? He's in us. And yet a lot of times, we don't recognize Him as one of the three of the Godhead because we're dealing with God the Father and God the Son. It's just our human way of thinking. But the Holy Spirit's in us. God will never push something of Himself on us. He won't do that. If we ask, then we receive. He's not going to push Himself upon us. When you get born again, as Jesus said there, the world can't receive Him because they don't see Him. We receive Him inside of us, and there He is forever. Now, we can repress Him. You know, Jesus warned us, quench not the Spirit. What was He talking about? He wasn't talking about our spirit. He was talking about God. He said, quench not the Spirit. And we can do that. I don't know if it's a power or what, but we have the ability to say, look, leave me alone. I'm going to do this. Sins of commission. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Sit down over there and be quiet. That's what we do. He indwells in us. We can't go anywhere that we don't take God. He's already there. Yet, as Jesus warned us, quench not the Spirit. Don't try and put the Spirit out. I've told y'all before, I know at times I've been closer to God when I could feel His presence. Couldn't see Him. See, God's a Spirit. Oh, wait a minute. God's that Spirit. No. God the Spirit. See, when He created the heavens and the earth, it was void and without form. And His Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. There it is. God's Spirit. We want to say, well, God doesn't have a body. He doesn't have... He's a Spirit. I told y'all before, we got to be real careful about witnessing to kids. Remember what John said? Little children? Who was he talking to? He was talking to us. We got to be real careful, little children, that we don't look at Jesus and say, hey, little boy, do you want this grown man to come and live in your heart? Well, that's impossible. Well, little children, remember Jesus has a fleshly body. And my Bible says He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Which would make it a little more difficult to come and get in a little boy. But His Spirit, whom He said, I will send, does that facility. Make sense? And I think a lot of times, we only have a dual Godhead. Not by our choice, just by our not recognizing. And Holy Spirit was very active in the Old Testament, very active in the New Testament, was here at Christ's birth, at His death and ascension, and then sent in a different capacity to indwell in the church. That's where God the Father in spirit is in the church, in us. Look in Genesis chapter 2. And understand, Genesis chapter 1 gives a total account of creation. Genesis chapter 2 comes in and puts a magnifying glass on day 6. Okay? Anybody ever see the maps? And you got a big map of maybe the United States or whatever, or maybe the state of Texas. And then they got this little cone-looking deal coming up out of one spot, going to a point, and then it's a big round deal. And it's a highlighted deal of that particular spot. That's what chapter 2 is when he begins to say, now here's how we created man. So the animals were created, everything was done. And he comes in here in verse 7, he says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. and man became a living soul. Now the animals that I care for dearly, we all have our cats in the house, even though we have allergies. We treat animals like they're part of the family, don't we? You don't? Well, y'all are different. You know, there are children, there are babies, don't we? But they're not human. This shoots a big hole in evolutionists. If we came from the animals, God didn't breathe life into them. They breathe the same air that we do. They have a spirit, but God breathed a soul into man. A soul that never dies. It says that He breathed the breath of life into Adam, and He does that for all of us. There's that word breath again, which is interchangeable in the Old Testament with spirit and wind. Again, in cold weather, you can see your breath, right? Or you see the effects of it anyway. It's highlighted by the vapors that are in the air. But you can't see my breath right now. You just saw spit come out, but you couldn't see my breath. But again, it's having an effect. Sometimes I don't think it does because I don't think y'all hear all of it. Sarah, is this making it all the way to y'all? Okay, all right, good, all right. Sometimes I don't know if it is, okay? Oh, hey, there you go, it's the receiving end, Sam said, but he can't hear anyway, so. Man was imparted directly from God, our breath. And it still happens today. You know, we long for that next breath of air. Some more than others when it becomes a chore, you know, to get that next breath of air. But God breathes into man His Spirit. Look in Ezekiel. Brother Crawford mentioned this the other night, and I've really tried to in my teaching, not assume that Ezekiel chapter 37, not assume that everybody knows that Jonah got swallowed by a whale. Sometimes people didn't go through Sunday school and you know, hear the things, the stories of the Bible. You know, go, man, it was just like, you know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fiery furnace. What? Heard a cute story this last week. I think a preacher said a little boy went to school. His teacher told him the story about the Jews coming out of Egypt into the wilderness. Told the whole story and the whole account. The little boy went home and he told his mom, he said, man, heard the neatest story today. Said that there was approximately 2.5 million people leave Egypt and they get over to the Red Sea and they begin to cut down trees and make booms and towers and made a bridge all the way across the Red Sea. The mother said, wait a minute, that's not how it really happened. He said, yeah, but you'd never believe how it really happened. Right? Sometimes we have to be careful that people do know the stories. Brother Crawford made mention of this the other night, that dry bones became alive. And when he says dry bones, that's dried up. There's no life in it at all. And it's metaphorically speaking about Israel here, but it's thought that this was a real event that took place. That God put life back into these bones. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel talking, and he says, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. It's thought that maybe when the Babylonians came in, they did a mass killing of the Jews, as we've seen historically down through the years, and this valley was where they had cast all the bodies. So he shows up in this valley of full of just bones everywhere. And he says in verse 2, he says, "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Perhaps these bones, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And they will lay sinew upon you, and they will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." He's talking about a future event coming to the Israelites. Probably something fixing to happen in the immediate future. In 1948, Israel was recognized as a country again, and we're seeing the hand of God come back around to dealing with His people Israel. But it says here that he prophesied and the bones came back together and the sinew came on them, but there wasn't any life in them. And he said, pray to the four winds. And again, you can see as you go through this chapter that wind, breath, and spirit all are the same Hebrew word. They just interchange it in there. It's the Hebrew word roch, rock. Y'all didn't know either. But it's the same Hebrew word. And it's the same word translated in the Greek that we read in John chapter 3 and verse 8. God's Spirit. If you notice down there at the end, he said, they're standing upright, but there's no life in them. He's talking about Israel here, and Israel has no life in them. But he said, I'm going to breathe my Spirit in them. See, Israel can't receive the Holy Spirit. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? By accepting Jesus Christ. Which makes you a member of the church in what the Holy Spirit indwells in. So he says, one day, he says in verse number 14, he says, I shall put my Spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, 1948. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So Israel is one day going to receive Christ. And God's going to send His Spirit to indwell in them. And again, right now, they can't see that because they can't see Him. As I said before, Spirit is like the wind. It's invisible. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 3. He's saying, look, I'm going to tell you about some things that doesn't really make any sense because we don't believe invisible things. We're starting to catch on. Somebody explain me how magnets work. They work. You can put them one way and they'll just clamp together. Pry them apart. Flip that one dude around. You can push it all over the place. How does that work? There's an invisible force in there. Jesus is trying to explain to them that, look, there's a force that's among you. You can't see it, but you can feel the effects of it. We can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. We can see the effects because of the effect it has on people's lives. And again, I have misspoken several times in this teaching. It's not it. It's one of the Godhead. It's Elohim. It's God the Spirit. It's not it. It's not it's the Holy Spirit. It's God. And again, I think we shortchange, for lack of a better word. Again, though it's invisible, we see the effects of it. The wind blows, and we see what effects the wind has. Sometimes it's a very gentle breeze. Sometimes it is just enough sometimes to feel or to see the effects. And then sometimes it's like uncontrollable. You know, when you get, I know in construction, the only time you really know when the wind blows is when you start hanging sheet metal. It could be calm and still as you want to be. Pick up a piece of tin, there's the wind. Put it back down, no wind. I'm telling you. Am I right? You want some wind to come around, just pick up a piece of sheet metal. And here come the wind. Can't hardly control it. But it's not the sheet metal, it's the effect that the wind is having on it. Holy Spirit affects us in the same way. And the only way we can tell that it is what effect it's having. Excuse me. He's having. See how difficult that is? It's the effect that He's having. And are we suppressing the Spirit? We can allow Him to have an effect on us. I read this morning the account of the apostles going out. They were arrested. They said, if y'all don't quit preaching Jesus, we're going to kill you. And they beat them, and they let them go. And they went to their people, and they got together, and they said, man, let me tell you what they said. They said, if we don't stop preaching Jesus, they're going to kill us. Now, I know what our prayer collectively would be. God, change their hearts and let them see that Jesus is love and right. But what they said was, increase our faith. Deal with us that we continue to do what God wants us to do. And it doesn't matter what's going on around us. It won't have an effect on us if we say, hey, increase our faith. Let us be more filled. Let the Holy Spirit fill us even more. Because again, there's instances in the Bible when there was filling and refilling. And if there's refilling, then there's some that goes out. Right? It just makes sense. John 14:17 says, He dwelleth in you. Again, on the day of Pentecost, the church was empowered. They was given power by whom? By God. They were able to perform miracle after miracle after miracle. If you take the miracles, you know, we want to say, well, you know, Jesus performed all these miracles, died on the cross, and ascended into heaven. Have you ever thought about the miracles in the book of Acts? If you take the miracles out of the book of Acts, there's not much in there. How about the earthquake and the jail opening up? How about them healing people or bringing people back alive? There was miracle after miracle after miracle that God, through His Spirit, God the Spirit, allowed those things to happen to show that, hey, this is the church. This is it. This is whom I've now placed my power in to tell my story. And again, without the miracles in the book of Acts, you don't really have anything. Look in Mark chapter number 1. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize thee with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. We can get immersed in it, and then we can repress it. You know, I'll say again, little children, that when you see those footprints in the sand and there's just one, that's not Jesus. Right? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for my prayers. He's not carrying me on the beach and making only one set of footprints. He said, I'll pray to the Father and He'll send another. It's the Holy Spirit. Who, by the way, is invisible and can't make footprints. But so don't everybody go home and take that deal off your wall. I know everybody's got it on their wall. Brother Clark, he's dissing the... No. But we have to categorize. We have left the Holy Spirit out of our lives, out of our prayer life, out of what we are. You know, how many times do we say, God bless them? It's a phrase, isn't it? We're praying to God the Father, and we say, give them a God blessing. I mean, that's what we do. And I think we relook our prayer life through the Spirit, our advocate being Jesus Christ, praying to God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for, Lord, just the time that we have here, Lord, though it's short, that we could look into your word. Father, we pray, Lord, through your Spirit, Lord, that we would... Lord, lift each other up. Lord, that, Lord, your grace would be sufficient, Lord, with all these prayer requests. And, Lord, again, thank you for Christ being our advocate. Lord, thank you for sending your Spirit to indwell here with us, Father. We thank you for that. Lord, bless our service to follow in Christ's name.